This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
It's 99.9 KISW. It's the Rock of Seattle. Right now we have a band that is going to be playing August 15th at the Substation with Canadian Metal Lords, Anvil, and Pulsifer. We're talking about Serpent Rider. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Metal Shop, y'all.
Thanks so much for having us.
Of course. So let's go around the room. You're very welcome. Tell us what you do in Serpent Rider and what your name is.
Hi, I'm Brandon. I play rhythm guitar. I do backing vocals live and a little on record. And I write most of the music and the lyrics.
Hi, I'm Paul. I play lead guitar.
And I'm Brian. I play bass.
I'm Reza. I'm the vocalist.
All right. So we're missing one member. Why don't you tell us who they are and what they do in the band?
It's our buddy Drake, and he is the drummer.
Okay, right on. So who's going to break it down? The history of the band, the origin story in Marvel terms.
It's going to have to be me because I started the band in 2015, I think,
wow,
under the name Skyway Corsair, which is from a Slough-Fag lyric, and then...
Is Brandon Corsair.
Well,
okay.
That's my everything name. That's what I put on my records is Brandon Corsair.
Okay.
Though I got that one from Highway Corsair, which is a different song.
Okay.
But I put this band together, and then it broke up pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Then I came back together, and I reformed it, named it Serpent Rider, I think in 2017, and used the same songs that I'd already been writing, and I put them together, did a demo with some friends, with a singer I really liked from Greece. His name is Nick. He sings in Wrathblade, and he was in Litany and some other cool bands. And we put out a demo, and then I kind of stalled for a little bit. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And our friend Ezra Brooks, which is my buddy Sean from Smolder's solo project, he asked if I wanted to do a split. And so I put together a new lineup where I was going to be singing. I kicked Nick out so I could sing. And then I really struggled to actually write the vocals. And so then Reza was helping me out with writing the vocals. And then I liked her demo so much, I just said, why don't you just sing?
Yeah.
I had met Kelly from Drawn and Quartered, which I now also play in. But I had met Kelly on tour in 2018. Still living in California, and we toured through Seattle with a different band called Drag Car. I met Kelly, we got along really well, and he ended up joining for a little while Serpent Rider, and so he played lead guitar on this split that Sean asked us to do, and then we moved up to Seattle based, mostly around Reza getting a job out here and how much I wanted to move out here after loving it on tour. And then we put together a new lineup that was all in Seattle, which is how we came to have this one.
So tell us, from your perspective, guys, how did you, hear about Serpent Rider? Was it a Facebook thing or a Craigslist, or did you just go see the band?
Yeah, well, I can go first. So I've known Brandon since college.
Awesome.
And I knew he moved up to Seattle about a year before I did. And when I moved up to here, I saw he put an ad on Facebook looking for a bassist. We connected. It worked out. I learned, the whole set in like a couple weeks, came up to practice. And it's been almost 2 years now, so it's been a really good experience. So yeah, I called a friend from Brandon and just, worked out.
He learned two sets because he also learned the Drag Car set,
cool,
which had really complicated bass playing. And he showed up and we did a double practice and he knew all of the songs better than I did. And it was like, what the f***?
Yeah, that's awesome. Holy, wow, okay, very talented musician. Learned a lot on the fly. That's awesome, man. You came prepared. And how about you, man? What got you into the band?
I joined about a year ago, and it turns out Brandon and I have like a bunch of friends in common.
Cool.
So our mutual friend, Ryan, that plays in Colony Drop, and Turian, he was my roommate for a while. And he said, hey, you know, I would have liked to have been or played on the Serpent Rider record, but he said he just had way too much going on.
So sure.
He said, well, why don't you take a crack at it, Paul? And so I auditioned, and everybody liked my audition, obviously. and then we, started working on lead parts and
no way.
Started working on lead parts, and then we did like a 3-day tour with Colony Drop, and recording this new album. So
that's awesome.
That brings us up to the present.
Killer. So, Riza, this is your first band singing, or is this?
Yeah. Well, my first metal band singing.
Okay.
I used to do musicals, so more Broadway.
Okay. What musicals were you in?
It's school musicals.
Sure. So I'm very familiar. I was in quite a few myself.
Really?
So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I was in Legally Blonde.
Okay.
Musical.
Nice.
I know, it's a surprise. I was the judge and also the smart girl that helps her get into law school.
Nice.
So that was cool. And then senior year, I did Footloose, and I was Rusty, who was the main character's best friend. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's I don't know if you know the song, Let's Hear It for the Boy. That's
yes.
Her solo. Yep, learned that. Learned to do the whistle note. Couldn't do it on the actual show night, though. But it was still a good experience. But no, I was singing then, continued singing lessons, more classical.
Mm-hmm.
Started a little bit of opera, kind of more recently.
Sure.
But stopped because it's a little bit expensive. So that's how. But getting into metal was solely... because I was helping Brandon write vocal lines.
Yeah.
I disagree. You were getting into metal before that. You just went singing in the
true.
Band.
So you were getting into metal as you started singing in the band? Or?
Just a little bit before.
Yeah.
I started listening to Chastain a lot. Brandon introduced
cool.
me to them.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, Leather is amazing.
Yeah.
I want to be her. I want to sing like her. Her range as an artist and... I think she's just a very dynamic singer. So to me, I wanted to be that in metal.
Yeah. That's awesome. How's the experience been? You know, being in your first metal band, you guys have done some tours. You're about to head out on a tour. You're going to be playing with Anvil. How do you like it, you know?
Oh, I love
it. Rate it on a 1 to 10.
Oh, 11. Can I
11?
Do 11?
Okay,
yeah.
Sounds good. All right, that's awesome. Hell yeah. Okay, so... As far as, your time, Brandon, you run a label. You're in how many different bands? You're in Drawn Quarter. You're in Drag Car. Right?
I feel like I need to pull up the metal archives.
Okay. So currently,
Drawn and Quartered. Well, gigging right now is just Drawn and Quartered, Serpent Rider, and nominally Drag Car. But realistically, Drag Car and Serpent Rider have almost the same lineup.
Okay.
So it's one or the other. There's a studio, Azath, Reaver, a new Gladiator that will be gigging but is not there yet. That might be it.
Okay. And you run Nameless Grave Records.
I run Nameless Grave Records. And I was doing live vocals for Andrew's Gore Grind band, Hugaku Grind Time for a little bit.
Yeah, and play at a double metal beer festival.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Yeah, to make the time to do it. And I've since stopped doing that because I've been focusing a lot more on singing and I don't want to blow out my throat doing anime Gore Grind. It just seems like a really bad thing to regret, in 50 years. Like, oh, I wish I could still sing, but I did all of those anime Gore Grind shows.
Yeah, well, that can be for your Tom Waits... side project.
There you go.
Yeah.
So how do you find time to, I mean, you're probably just always working, right? On something.
Most of the time.
No.
And if I'm not working on something, then I should be. There's something I can be doing. I've really dialed back the amount of stuff that I've been doing in the last maybe year and a half. a lot of the times, you know, every single night packing boxes, answering emails, neglecting Riza, to whom I'm married, which is why she's interjecting with these, you know, no, you're not comments.
Yeah.
I hit a tipping point where I realized I just couldn't keep doing all of the stuff that I was doing. So I dialed back. I quit some of the bands I was in. Yeah. I think at my peak, I was in like 9.
You're a lot.
And I dialed back on the bands. I outsourced as much of the label as I could. So I'm still running it. I'm still doing a lot of the higher level stuff, but I started paying for different software to help me handle like different accounting things that I was doing manually, painstakingly by hand. I started paying somebody to do all of my shipping.
Cool.
And a lot of my social media. His name is Paul, and he is a lifesaver and the only reason I still have a label.
That's awesome.
And so I've learned to dial back and prioritize.
Working smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
That's great.
Instead of doing stuff every single night till I get stressed out all the time, now it's like, you know, a couple of times a week. And I'm answering emails and running the label and doing stuff every single day. Just a lot of the times it's when I'm taking a break from work, or maybe when I should be working, but it's slow, or when I think I can put it off at work.
Well, it sounds like it started as a passion. It got overwhelming, but now you're able to enjoy it again by kind of dialing back. And it should be something you enjoy, because it's not like we're all getting insanely rich off this stuff, right? So you should be able to enjoy it. So that's cool.
It was an accident. I did not mean to start a record label.
Okay.
It was just going to be anonymous cassettes that was me and an old drag car drummer. I got a bunch of anonymous, you know, quick and dirty, like black metal, like mortuary drape stuff. And then, you know, I ended up having a falling out with a record label I was on at the time and needed something to sell on tour. So I did some tapes for drag car. And then that's where I met the Drawn and Quartered guys. And then they asked me to do a tape of their first album, been released on tape. Then I also did it later on vinyl, and it was also the first vinyl edition. But it just sort of escalated from the band stuff, where people just kept asking me, like, hey, can you do this? Or, you know, by a certain point, I started to do a better job than these assholes managing my buddy's band. And it just completely got out of control. And if I could go back in time, I don't think I would start a record label, because it's a massive pain. And it is not fun. It is not. It's rewarding, but it is work. It is a second job. A lot of packing boxes and answering emails and doing accounting and
type 2 fun.
I put it on my actual resume. It's on my resume for jobs, because it's a job.
It's a job. Yeah. What's one thing, like an album? If you look at your discography of Nameless Grave, what's one album you're like, this is an essential, would it be like the Colony Drop record? You know, what would it be?
As much as I love Colony Drop and a bunch of other newer artists that I've worked with, I've had the great pleasure and fortune of working with some legitimately legendary acts. And I would be remiss to recommend as an essential, a new band, what I could be saying, go listen to Nasty Savage.
Yeah.
So I did a compilation of Nasty Savage's demos, which went on to inspire bands like Obituary, Death, Morbid Angel. So I would say Nasty Savage, the demo compilation that I put out, or I put out a Pagan Altar demo compilation.
Cool.
Would be highly recommended. I did a Sloughfeg demo thing recently that would be highly recommended. Twisted Tower, several albums. As far as newer stuff, I mean, I don't want to pick out a single band, because they're all amazing.
Yeah.
I don't work with bad bands.
Spy them all. Again, you guys are going to be playing, and we're talking about Serpent Rider again. You're going to be playing at the Substation with Anvil August 15th. You guys are going to be going to Anvil. Tell me a little bit about what got you hooked up with the Anvil guys. Did they come knocking, or?
It's through Drawn and Quartered, which is, or if anybody doesn't know, like an old death metal band that's been continuously active in Seattle since more or less 1992, 1993.
You don't say old, say OG.
A experienced.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
An experienced band.
Yeah.
And so when I joined the band, I was like, you guys want to have a booking agent? So then I went and I asked Amos from Deceased if he wanted to represent us, because he is part of the Heavy Talent Booking Agency.
Yeah.
And then we did a tour with Drawn and Quartered with Fulci that went really well last year. And then I'm guessing when they were looking for openers for this tour that they went, oh, we know Brandon, and we need a West Coast partner, and I know he has a heavy metal band.
Great.
And so then I got an email from Amos asking if we wanted to tour with Anvil, and I sent a message to the guys like, hey, we're going to do this. We have to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if Drawn and Quartered and Anvil would really fit, so, you know, it's good. Be kind of odd. But, yeah, so, again, August 15th with Pulsifer, Serpent Rider, and Anvil. We're going to jump into a song here by Serpent Rider. We're going to jump into a song called The Wretch. Who wants to introduce this one? Tell me about The Wretch.
People are pointing at me. So, The Wretch was the song from our split with Ezra Brooks. Both of the songs that we're playing tonight are going to be from our split with Ezra Brooks because the new album's not out yet. And
okay.
I think that our record label would be very unhappy if mm-hmm. we did anything from that. But so this is a song about a woman, a warrior that is completely annihilated in a way that leaves her still alive by an enemy. And then she's healed forcibly in a way that leaves her trapped inside of her own body. It's based very directly on a book series that I highly recommend. It's called Parahumans by Twigbo. I think it's Twigbo. They go by a pen name that makes it hard for me to remember.
Okay.
But the first book is Worm. The second book is Ward. It's based on that. And the song kind of came together where Kelly wrote a song for the split, and then being a control freak, I didn't like it because it didn't fit. It was good, but it didn't fit the style of the band. So we were in the middle of recording the split, and I just sort of hastily threw together what ended up being our most popular song on the split, go figure. And that is The Wretch.
All right, here it is. It's The Wretch by Serpent Rider. You can catch them at the Substation on August 15th with freaking Anvil. It's The Wretch here by Serpent Rider. It's Metal Shop.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That was The Wretch by Serpent Rider. You can catch them at the Substation with Anvil August 15th. You guys kind of teased it. You just teased it, Brandon. You said, our new album's not out yet. So let's talk about it. You have a new album on the way. Is this 2024, 2025? What do you think?
I think last time we talked about it, 2025.
2025?
Yeah. We were hoping it was going to be out this year, but we just, we had many, many things to do. And, you know, we couldn't finish it before the end of the year deadline. So, you know, but I think it's better to take your time and to do things
totally
that you're going to be like completely proud of instead of rushing and then thinking like, maybe that was a little too fast.
Right.
So, yeah. So I'm pretty excited.
What can you tell us about the record? Is it a full length? Full length, and what label?
It's on No Remorse Records out of Greece. Same people that did the split with Ezra Brooks.
That's awesome.
You might recognize them as a listener from Eternal Champion. They put out both of their records. They work with Morgul Blade.
Yeah,
they've done a lot of killer reissues, like all the Heavy Load albums.
Did they get a hold of you guys, or were they, you know, are you friends with them through doing independent label stuff? Or
we hit them up. I had never talked to them before. We had a short list. It was, I'm not going to name the labels.
Sure.
But it was literally two labels, and No Remorse was one of them.
That's awesome.
And we sent promos to both, and we were really excited that No Remorse wanted to do the split in the album, and so we went with them.
Let's go. That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's going to be coming out in 2025, and where'd you guys go to record it, and you know, what was that process like?
It was all kind of separate.
Okay.
It was separately recorded. I recorded mine at Magic Mix, where Rev does his recording, or did his recording for Greyhawk.
Sure.
So that's how we found out about them. They're great. We specifically wanted to have the vocals recorded in a studio setup because, one, we learned our lesson from the split.
Okay.
We recorded that. You might know this, but the split was technically a pandemic album.
Okay.
So we re-recorded that at home with our mic set up there. And it was, although I was happy with the vocal lines I wrote, we had to mix my vocals a little bit far back because of the sound. It just wasn't good. So this time around, we were like, well, I really want it to sound a lot more powerful than the split. So let's go actually do it at a studio. And then Brandon, you recorded yours at home.
We recorded guitars ourselves. We DI'd them, just direct recording dry into our computers, basically. And then our friend Andrew Lee, who I'm in a bunch of bands with, and he's in Ripped to Shreds, and he is Ripped to Shreds, and he runs the record label with me, reamped the guitars. Brian similarly recorded his own bass, and then Drake, who's not here to tell anybody about it, did his drums at a studio in Bellingham with Rich 3, and then Andrew reamped all the guitars, and he mixed it, and Arthur Rizik from a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
He's in Eternal Champions and
Summerlands, yeah.
He's probably best known for being the recording engineer behind the Power Trip albums.
Soulfly, Creator,
Cavalera.
So many good, Cavalera, yeah. Zabulba, like so many good records, yeah.
He's an incredible engineer, and he's a buddy, and so it was like, you know, because, I mean, it's a very small scene, heavy metal.
He's also in the band Cold World. That's a great band, too, Cold World.
He was in, what was that hardcore band that was really, really killer? War Hungry.
War Hungry, yeah, totally.
And, you know, I met him just through festivals and stuff. We played with Summerlands last year in Chicago, and, you know, we go to the same types of stuff. We have a lot of mutual friends, so I asked him to master it.
That's great.
He did a really killer job.
That's awesome. Right on. Okay, so let's go back in time. We're talking about, even if it's embarrassing, first album you purchased with your own money. It could be a tape, it could be a CD, it could be an iTunes album.
I can go first.
All right, let's go.
I remember, I think it was probably like 9, 10, mm-hmm. and I bought Linkin Park, Hybrid Theory.
Okay.
And I was very into it.
Yeah.
I can still hear those tracks, and like the lyrics are just like so deep in my brain.
One step closer to the
edge. Yeah, it's been like, it can be like a whole year or two before I hear one of the songs that still, the lyrics are still deep in my brain. The first one, None Money, was very excited about it.
Nice. And that was CD, I'm assuming.
CD, yeah.
CD, okay. Do you remember what store? Like a Best
Buy? Like a Best Buy.
Yeah, sounds about right. All right, moving on.
Okay, I think the first CD I bought was Sonic Youth Dirty.
Wow. Okay.
I don't remember what age I was exactly.
A little bit hipper than Linkin Park, you know?
Hey, if you're a big Linkin Park fan, maybe not. So
totally.
That I don't remember where it was either. Probably at the Kitsap Mall.
Okay. So. Nice. Shout out Kitsap Mall. Yeah. And Brendan, how about you, man?
Vader, Impressions and Blood.
That was a wow. Okay, so you started brutal. Jesus Christ!
My dad got into metal, you know, like 1971 or two with Black Sabbath, and I grew up and I never listened to anything else.
All right, so let's talk about that. I'm curious. What did your dad get into? Extreme metal?
He's less into extreme metal, but he did. He's always like, I mean, he got into the genre with Black Sabbath. He's always been more of a doom metal guy. So it's, you know, like growing up, his favorite bands. He went through this awful funeral doom phase. And I got into funeral doom as an adult. But some of my most striking memories for being really little were begging him to put on like Slayer or something when I was like 5 or 6 instead of the awful slow music with the rumbly vocals. I was like, put on something good, like Slayer, something fast.
It's hilarious.
And so,
would you remember some of the bands? Any of the bands, like the Funeral Doom bands?
I don't remember what he was listening to Funeral Doom wise. I remember as a kid, he really liked November's Doom. It was obviously not a Funeral Doom band.
Yeah.
But he really liked November's Doom when I was a kid. He really liked Sleep. Sleep's still his favorite band.
Wow.
He listened to a lot of, I think he got me into Grief when I was a kid.
Okay.
He listened to some Sludge. He got me into,
what's your dad's name?
His name is Tony.
Shout out Tony, dude. Yeah. Tony's an OG. Okay, so let's talk about, what was the first time, do you remember, first time hearing metal?
No pre-metal for me.
It's just like you were born.
I am woefully out of touch with everything that's not metal because
it's
that's
true.
I grew up and that's all I listened to. It's like I remember in middle school he got me into like Celtic Frost and I was like, that's how I got into extreme metal because he wasn't really into it, but you know he really liked Monotheist, which was new at the time, and he showed it to me, and then I went backwards from that into old Celtic Frost, which is to this day still some of the most influential music on me that I've just ever heard. It's just completely ingrained in everything about my brain, how I write music, how I listen to music, and so he got me into that when I was like 12. He got me into Bolt Thrower, Rotting Christ.
Wow.
Just all sorts of stuff.
Shout out Tony.
Yeah. And so then in high school, I was like trying to listen to I'm very much, because of all of this, I'm stuck in the past.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to listen to like all of this like new death metal and stuff. And I would like
Tech
one
death.
Song. Yeah. Like new tech death and deathcore and stuff. And I'd like one song. I'd be like, but this is, the rest of these songs are awful. And I found Vader somewhere, and I was just like, oh, my God. And I realized it's not that I didn't like the new band's albums or that I didn't like albums. I just didn't like the new bands.
Mm.
And so then I checked out Vader, and then I got into Dismember and Possessed. I remember I listened to Seven Churches, I think, every day for like a year in high school because it just completely blew my mind. Mm. I got into Deicide around the same time, and I went through like a period of like 3 or 4 years where I didn't listen to anything with singing at all.
Wow.
It's just like, I remember driving around when I was like 16 in my mom's minivan, feeling super cool, blasting Antaeus, Like, oh yeah, I'm the coolest guy around.
Yeah. Okay. Well, obviously you're into heavy metal, like, you know, old school heavy metal, and obviously we're talking about Serpent Rider. What brought you back to that? So what opened your eyes back up to that sound?
It was a mix of things. I had a college roommate my freshman year that was willing to tolerate me blasting music nonstop as long as it had singing.
Okay.
As a mixture of, because he could do that. He could not do, you know, the Morbid Angel.
Yeah.
And which I was listening to a lot of Morbid Angel at the time. And it was a mixture of that. And then I ran into a Slough-Fegg song that just completely blew my mind. It was High Passage, Low Passage off of Traveler, which is where Skyway Corsair comes from. And it just completely annihilated me. And I was just like, oh my God, what is this? And I listened to it over and over and over again. And I didn't even like the rest of the album because I didn't have the backing for it. Because, I mean, I grew up listening to Black Sabbath and Iron Maiden and Judas Priest and stuff. Yeah. But I had just come off of like a 4-year bender of not listening to heavy metal.
Yeah.
And that song blew me away so much that I Stockholmed myself into liking the rest of the album. I just forced myself to. And then as soon as it clicked, within like a month, I was like begging people for recommendations. And it was like one day it was like, oh, you know, Morbid Angel. And then within you know, a month it was Manila Road and
you're just wearing bell bottoms next month, and you know,
so you basically heavy metal pilled yourself.
Oh,
and I started my first heavy metal band almost right after, even though I could barely play guitar, and that was Skyway Corsair.
That's awesome.
And I still obviously always stayed with death metal, and I love death metal still, but heavy metal since I was 18 has been like my number one big genre.
That's cool.
I think it helped you were trying to introduce heavy metal to me, too, at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We met.
What do you think of, like, the more extreme stuff, death metal and stuff like that? Can you mess with that? It's not your style?
I think that's funny, actually. He tried to hide that side of him when we started dating. He hid some of his posters. He wouldn't wear, like, metal shirts around me. Yeah. It was very, like, hidden. And then he slowly got me, like, listening to metal.
That's what I do with wrestling.
Yeah.
With pro wrestling. I was very nervous bringing her back to my apartment the first time. I had a big Necrofilth poster hanging right over my bed, which was just on the ground because I was a bachelor.
Yeah.
And
you
so
had
I'm
a
like,
Destroyer 6,
I was just like, I really hope that this, I don't know her very well. I really hope that she doesn't freak out.
The thing is, I couldn't read it.
Yeah.
It's death metal. So, like, you can't read any of
you're
the
just
prints.
Like, I can't.
Yeah, I was
whatever.
Like, oh, this guy's into like, interesting artwork, I guess.
Really? It's kind of dark, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay, so for you, what was your first music, first CD, tape, whatever it was, that you purchased on your own?
Yeah. 10th birthday, I got money to buy a CD. Because one, my aunt gave me a CD player.
Yeah.
I felt so cool walking around with that thing.
Hell yeah.
It was like, you know, kind of skip as you're, you know, you run into things.
Oh, you didn't get the anti-skip? Come on.
No, I didn't get the anti-skip. No. This one rewinded, so that was really cool.
That's cool. That's cool.
But I got the High School Musical soundtrack, the very first one.
There you go.
I was very excited about that because it
was Miley Cyrus, right? She was in that?
No, it was Vanessa Hudgens.
Oh, that's right. Miley Cyrus was Hannah Montana.
It was Hannah Montana.
Okay.
I had a face there at the CD.
But
it was, now I kind of cringe at that, but it was, I mean, I loved it when I was,
I mean,
I was
you're
10
in
years
musicals,
old.
You know?
Yeah, like, no, I thought that real life should be filled with singing. And I actually brought the High School Musical thing into life. I was in high school. I would walk around like singing, harmonizing with my high school best friend, Chelsea. And like, we were known.
You just busting the random song?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, it was. I was living High School Musical. Yeah. Like, people actually lived High School Musical in person.
Did you do flash mobs?
You know, I couldn't convince enough people.
Okay.
I only had a couple friends that were into it. But if I could, if I had that power, I would have definitely done a flash mob.
All right. I like it. That's awesome. All right. I like, you know, and when you mix all four of those things together, Serpent Rider comes about. It's a little bit of High School the Musical, a little bit of Vader, a little bit of Linkin Park, a little bit of Sonic Youth.
Yeah.
Let's go.
That's really a stretch.
Serpent Rider formula, guys. You want to rip us off.
All right. So this is a Northwest radio show. Favorite Northwest or bands of all time? It could be anything from Jimi Hendrix to Heart to Colony Drop to whatever it is.
Oh, Heart, yes.
Heart, that's yours?
Yes.
Heart, okay.
I sing Alone. Alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alone, Alone.
that's awesome.
So many times. And on karaoke. So.
All right, Heart. There we go.
I'm sort of obsessed with old heavy metal, and Pacific Northwest had one of the best scenes in the whole world.
Yeah.
So I just want to give a quick shout out to James Beach and the Northwest Metalworks label, all of the amazing work he's done.
The 900-page book, Rusted Metal.
I have it.
It's so crazy. It's amazing.
I mean, too many to count. Queensryche, Metal Church, Heir Apparent. I love Heir Apparent.
Yeah. Q5.
Q5 was great. Taste of Iron. If our drummer was here, you'd talk about Taste of Iron because he loves
That's
them.
Awesome.
Glacier.
Wild Dogs.
Wild Dogs is really cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. Right on. And moving on. Favorite Northwest bands?
Oh, man. Such a hard question. I'm just going to cheat a little bit and just keep it to, favorite Northwest heavy metal bands that are playing right now.
Okay.
It makes it way easier to answer.
Yeah.
So... a few bands that I really like that I've had the opportunity to see play recently, Dark Meditation.
Great band.
I really like.
Yeah.
Greyhawk. Mm-hmm. I think I'll just stick with those two for now.
Great bands. Yeah. And last but not least.
Yeah, I was saying my favorite is probably Archspire out of Vancouver. I love
their, great band.
They're melodic, they're technical, they're really pushing the
Stay Tech.
And very, very unique sound. Like you hear an Archspire song and you know it's them.
He's like he's a rapper.
Yeah, he's very interesting vocal style. I don't know how he does it, but it's very cool. I would say they're one of their.
That's awesome. Again, they're going to be playing August 15th at the Substation with Anvil and Pulsifer. We're talking about Serpent Rider here, and we're going to jump into one last song here, Echidna. Any final words for the Metal Shop and KISW and local audience?
Metal lives. To quote King Fowley from Deceased.
There we go. It is Serpent Rider. Catch them on the 15th at Substation with Anvil. It's Echidna. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.